Welcome to Just Break Up, the podcast about love, heartbreak, and all the relationship advice you don't want to hear. My name is Sierra DeMolder.
And I'm Sam Blackwell. And today we're going to answer a letter from somebody who is struggling to make friends. But before we begin, we just want to give you our Surgeon General's warning, which is that Sierra and I are not licensed mental health practitioners.
Mm-mm. We are not professionals. We are not trained in this. So please take our advice as you see fit. We're only here to offer our ever humble musings. So hope we shed some understanding and maybe some laughs about the incredibly rewarding, but mostly confusing experience that is love. All right, let's dive into today's letter. It is from AW, whose pronouns are she, her, who is writing to us from the void. Hi, Sam and Sierra. First off, I want to say I found your podcast a couple of years ago, and it has gotten me through some really confusing and lonely moments of my life. So for that, I love and appreciate you. To preface, I'm a 24-year-old. I'm a second-year medical student, and I currently go to school over 1,200 miles from my hometown. I'm happily married to my amazing partner, he, him, who supports me in everything I do. We also have two adorable pet bunnies. Anyways, on to my letter. I feel like I suck at making friendships.
Oh.
At least quality, long-lasting ones, anyway. Maybe I just pick people that aren't a good fit, or I think they're more into our friendship than they actually are. Genuinely, I don't know. I know I am fun to be around, and I hang out with people and have a good time, but then am still excluded from other things and am not anyone's first choice. I have a few close friends from undergrad, but we all live thousands of miles apart. Don't get me wrong, I do love my long distance besties, but I would love to go through med school having at least one close friend, you know? I mostly feel like I rely on my partner for support, and even though he wouldn't ever agree, I don't really feel like it's fair to rely solely on him to be my support system. It would also be so nice to have a friend at school that is in the same situation as me. I know some of my struggles come from a previous friendship of like 12 plus years that, long story short, I gave my all and then some to show her love and support. But when I shared my struggles and asked for the support I needed, I was basically ghosted and now maybe get one text a year. I recognize that relationships have times and purposes in our lives, and not everyone is meant to be in our lives forever. But now that internal conflict of, am I giving too much of myself, or am I just being a caring friend? Am I setting boundaries and asking for what I need, or are they going to bail afterwards, seeps into all of my new friendships. I feel like everyone else has their friend group and the people that are always together at events, and I'm like the floater that knows everyone but isn't close with anyone. I feel like I could stop showing up to the events and no one would really notice. I get feelings of unworthiness when I see my, quote, friends post on their social media, fuck social media, ugh, that they're all together and that I didn't get invited, and can't help but question why I am not good enough for them to want me to be there too. Thank you for reading this. I truly appreciate all the time and love you put into this podcast. Love, diagnosis, lonely.
Cute.
Oh, my darling.
Oh, thank you for writing in. And I'm so sorry that you're feeling so lonely and that it feels like everyone is kind of hanging out without you. You know, that idea that you're not anyone's first choice is such a little pang in the heart. And I appreciate that you reached out to us and that you're asking for some love from the other side of the country. So thank you so much for trusting us with this letter. We're going to get into some thoughts, some musings, some advice about how to make friends as an adult, even though it's really hard and it sucks in a lot of ways. But first, we're going to take a quick break.
Spring has sprung and summer is just around the corner. Packing your bag with sunscreen, your emotional support water bottle, and that steamy beach read. But wait, this year there's a new kind of essential that's right at your fingertips. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, spicy audio stories. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. Discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups.
And get this, there's a growing library of fantasy series with werewolves, Greek gods and goddesses, Regency era, historical fiction, my absolute favorite, and fairy smut to explore the bounds of your pleasure. New content is released every week, so in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you will always find something new to explore. Dipsy offers a modern approach to romance through high quality and captivating audio fiction.
For listeners of this show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsestories.com/justbreakup. dipsestories.com/justbreakup. All right, my darling. Thank you so much for writing this letter and for trusting us with it. I really wanted to answer it just for the opportunity to say yet again that making friends is hard. And I know this is not the first time we've had it said it on a show, and I know it's not the, you know, the most profound thought or whatnot, but I think we're really taught by popular media and our culture that friendship is organic and it's easy, and that if it's hard for you, you are the abnormal one, or you are somebody who is unworthy of friendships. And I think it's more true on the other side of things, right? I think more of us, the larger percentage of us, have a hard time making new friends. And I know that in the past I've said that it is easier when you're younger, when you're in school, or when you have like forced, you know, time together. But I also think that's a lie of our youth and of proximity. It can be easier to make friends with people like when, I don't know, you're forced to live with them on a campus, or you're in, I don't know, a sorority or some group or whatever, where you have this encouraged time spent together. But I also just want to recognize that it's hard to make friends at all different times of your life, because we are juggling so much. We have different schedules, different needs, different social habits, different communication styles, barriers, financial barriers, not being able to go out, you know. Maybe you're sober, so you don't get drunk, so you don't participate in those sort of, like, I don't know, youthful bonding experiences.
For sure.
I've been thinking about this a lot as I, you know, am in my later 30s now, and still struggling with feeling like I am not the best at friendships, and that I don't have the friend that I still covet and I'm jealous of other people's friend groups and the security that they found in them. I used to think that it was easier when we were younger, and while it was, you know, those weren't necessarily the safest friendships. You know, I think if I was like more I think if, when I was younger, if I was like more conscious of what was going on, if I was like more in my body and in my mind instead of constantly disassociating, those friendships would have felt really hard to me, and they probably did at the time. This is all to say, let's yet again dispel the myth that friendships are easy and are meant to be intuitive or organic.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that can be really hard as we're thinking about friendships too is that, like Sierra said, like, people are sort of coming into these situations with like different preferences or around like what we can and can't do, how we want to hang out, but also that we're like coming into these situations with past relationships too, right? And it's like, you know, there may be an idea that like, oh, we're all coming to school, we're all going to med school, so we'll all have like blank slates and we'll be able to just like make friends with everyone because we'll all be in it together. But also, like, there's a bunch of other reasons why folks aren't necessarily looking for friendships, or why friendships may appear stronger with other people than with us because of like past history or whatever it is, right? Like, it might be that, you know, the folks in your program or the folks that go to the university that you go to have friends already at that university, right? Or come from the same place or whatever it might be, where it's kind of like trying to break into different friend groups can also be really challenging too.
Yes.
And we often look at it as being like, wow, why can't I do this? When it's like, well, yeah, of course, because you don't have the years of of built up friendship that makes it easier for you to be in partnership with people. And like, you know, as somebody who has broken into friend groups, as somebody who has friend groups that may or may not be hard to break into as well, like I really know firsthand that it is challenging, not necessarily just because like people are different, but also because like the dynamics of people's friendships are all different as well. And it can be really hard to like try to insert yourself in something that already feels pretty like fully baked.
That's so true. Also, I read a parenting, this is all just musing, by the way, we will get to some advice or maybe we won't.
We will see. Yeah. No promises. I know that this is an advice podcast, but like, has it ever been?
I read a article recently about how it was about parenting and how, you know, our current mode of parenting in the US is a very particularly unique mode of parenting that's specific to Western culture and specific to this time in history. Like, it is not reflected in time or in cultures across the world, even present day. And that is a family that is so incredibly isolated and nuclear and disconnected from neighbors, elders, you know, extended family, friends. And I feel like that's reflected in so many things in our American culture right now, just this chronic disconnect between us and this sort of Americana ideal that you have to make it on your own and that you're not supposed to like rely on other people or want other, you know, support systems in your life, just sort of like muscle through this really hard experience that is living. And I feel that ripple through my life now. I've never wanted more to be connected to people, to be seen and witnessed and supported by other people. And yet I rarely leave my house, right? and yet I don't know my neighbors' names, you know? We really have lost the whole, like, it takes a village. I think I brought this quote up a couple months ago on an episode. I saw it on Twitter somewhere, so forgive me, I don't remember the name, but somebody said, we're not a village anymore, we're just a crowd. And we it's just so true. So I offer this, I guess it's not any advice, but maybe a slight perspective so that you can look more gently on this pain in you. This is not a signifier to me that you are not worthy of friendships. This is not a signifier that you are not cool enough. This is a product of our culture that isolates us, that tells us we have to do things on our own, that shames us for sharing vulnerability, and that literally categorizes us into social categories, right? That we feel like we can't cross these lines. This is a product of the times, is all I'm trying to say. And I don't mean to say that we are so disconnected in like an absolve everything sort of hippie, let's just believe in peace sort of way. And also, we are so disconnected from one another that it makes us forget each other's humanity. And that is definitely another reason why it's hard to make friends when we are not accustomed, like we, the people you are trying to befriend, when we are not accustomed to like opening our hearts to other people or inviting other people to sit with us or opening our doors to strangers, you know?
And I think that one of the things that sort of struck me about your letter was that it seems like there's this fear that like you're going to give and give and give and get nothing in return. And I want to sort of push back on the idea that like friendships are inherently reciprocal in that way. Right. And I don't want you to like burn yourself out by giving too much, right? Like, that's not what I'm saying. I don't want you to like self-sacrifice in your friendships. But I also want to just say like that the fact that you're putting more time and attention into the friendships that you are cultivating with your medical school friends doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing something wrong, right? And the fact that they are still hanging out without you or not inviting you to that thing doesn't mean that you're forgotten or that like your efforts have been in vain or that you're somehow like sacrificing yourself. Like sometimes trying to build intentional friendships with folks means that we got to put ourselves out there more than other people are putting themselves out there for us, especially if we're trying to like
say that,
especially if we're trying to like break into groups of friends or we're trying to build where there may already be established relationships. And I'm literally just thinking about this because after college, this is something that I had to do where I was like, people weren't inviting me to things, but I was like, I want to get in with these people. So I'm going to figure out how I can be with them as much time as possible. And it was totally one-sided. Like, to be clear, these people are now my friends and I like really love them and they are very kind and generous. Yeah. But it was a lot of me being like, oh God, they're at that party without me. I was not invited to this party, but not because I wasn't invited, but because like I'm not yet as part of the established pattern. So what I had to really think about was like, absolutely. It was like, how do I get myself as part of this pattern? And part of it is by showing up. Part of it is about when I see them and they mention that they're doing a thing, saying like, oh, cool, that's really interesting. I love that movie too. Would you want to go see that with me? Right? Like it is about really awkwardly in some ways or like what feels really awkward, putting yourself out there, being kind of like, and you know, like, our high school brains might like react to this and be like, oh my God, so pathetic. They like want, it's like, they're desperate. And it's like, no, I'm actually acknowledging the fact that building friendships takes work. It takes time. Not everyone is thinking about it or necessarily good at it, but it's also something that I want. It's something that I'm like working on and it's not pathetic. It's not desperate to keep putting yourself out there with people and say like, and to try and build relationship with people because it's not just going to click ever, right? Like it may have in high school because of like the weird ways our brains are socialized and like the weird chemicals that are putting in like the desire for like social standing when we're young. But like, that's not how adult friendships work because our brains aren't wired the same way that they were. So we need a different set of rules, which often involves like, let's keep hanging out, right? Like, let's keep trying this. I will keep showing up. I will keep asking you to do this thing. And like, there's nothing sad or pathetic or weird about that, even though that's what it may feel like or sound like to us. And if other people are listening to me say this and saying like, that sounds pathetic, great. I don't want to be your friend. Like, honestly, like, I don't want to be friends. Like if people don't want to be friends because I'm asking to hang out with them and then like, cool, like, great. Let's not be friends. That doesn't sound super fun.
Yeah. And I have to remind myself that new friendship always feels awkward. Right. And that you can't, I always like, I feel like I am too judgmental on first hangouts or like, Or I'm too sensitive on rejections of like, oh, they didn't invite me to this, you know? And I don't mean any of those things cruelly in either the direction. I'm not like, oh God, they sucked or whatever. And I'm not thinking, they didn't invite me, my heart, you know, they hate me. But it falls somewhere in between. Like I feel like the time that we have to spend together has to be, you know, there can't be any awkward pauses or else that symbolizes that we are, I don't know, incompatible or whatever. Or it has to feel so intuitive and flow or whatever, or else they will think I'm weird or whatnot. But like, we all take time. We all need time to iron out the edges, to explore where we overlap in compatibilities, where we overlap in conversations. Like, it's going to be crunchy until it's smooth, friends, is what I will say. And I also want to say that this is a bad piece of advice in that it only goes so far. And Sam and I have essentially said it already, just that you need to put yourself out there in order to risk disappointment, to risk connection, right?
Yep, For sure.
You need to ask to be invited. You need to invite people over. You need to ask if you can sit at a table or whatever the social situation it is. And I know that's terrifying, and I know it's disappointing that those two things that are being risked at the same time. And you have to remember that those people have just as an emotionally rich, diverse, and complicated life as you do, that they might, you know, I'm making up scenarios, but you ask them to hang out and they say no, and then you find out that they were hanging out with other people. It's not immediately because they didn't want to hang out with you or they don't like you. Maybe for sure. one of them is grieving something like a relationship or a pet, and they wanted to be able to talk about it in like a safe place with people they know really well. Or maybe somebody has like an awkward response to a joke that you tell, and you go home and you think about like, oh man, I'm so dumb. I'm not a good friend. I can't have a good conversation. Well, maybe they're at home thinking like, oh God, I didn't get that joke. And I made an awkward response to it. And like, man, I'm so uncomfortable in social situations. Like, ugh. Willow always tells me that our friends are surprised when she tells them that like I am not socially as confident as they might think that I am, that I like go home and often like overthink about the conversations we had, or if I talk too much, or if I talk too loud or whatever. And she's obviously saying this in confidence with close people about like, oh, why didn't Sierra come? Well, she wasn't really feeling like socializing, or she was having an anxious day or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just a reminder that the most extroverted people out there probably are second guessing every fucking decision they've ever made. and that I learned this from Sam, that everyone is as emotionally rich and complex as you are, and they have 1,000 reasons that are leading to some XYZ. Does that negate the validity of your feelings? Absolutely not. Making new friends is hard, it's vulnerable, and it's isolating and lonely. It makes us feel like we are alone. It makes us feel like we can't ask other people for our support, or that there's something wrong with this, but that is absolutely not true, even if your feelings are valid.
Yep. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I also think that like this idea that, you know, I'm no one's first choice either is so understandable and so relatable, right? Because we all kind of like want a best friend who's going to be like the best person that we like always are spending time with. And 100%. I also think that like, as I've grown older, one of the things that I've realized is that like, I might not be anyone's first choice for friend. Yeah. And that doesn't mean that I don't have deep and meaningful friendships with people, right?
Yes.
That doesn't. And I think a lot of the time where I was having a lot of consternation with my relationships with people was that I was striving so much to be the best or to be the first choice with people. And I discredited any relationship in which I wasn't, right? I was like, that's not a friendship worth spending time in, because I don't know, they have a bunch of other friends, or like they're not the first person I would call if I was in a crisis. And actually those like not even secondary friendships, I don't want to call them that, but like those sort of like, I would say like more sort of interwoven friendships are actually ones that need time and attention and care and do reap a number of different beautiful rewards for me, even though they're not like, oh, this is my best friend, and they like, they're the person, they're my emergency contact, or like my mom has their phone number in her phone, right? Like all of that kind of stuff is something that I think a lot of us are striving for, but there is a lot of beauty and mutuality in friendships with people in which we are continuing to choose to be friends, even though we're not like monogamous friends. You know what I mean? I'm thinking about like demonogamizing things in sort of the friendship context as well, which is that like, we really say that like best friendships or like only friendships are like the best or the most important or the most authentic. But I think that there's so many different ways in which we can have friendships with people that may not be like, oh, they choose me first. Like, what if your social calendar was filled with 5 different people over the course of a few weeks that you got coffee with, or that you had drinks with, or that you did some studying with? and how beautiful and rich it would be to have those people in your life. And are you discrediting that because they're not your best or your only sort of number one friendship, or the person who would choose you first over all of the other potential friends that they have?
That makes so much sense to me. And it also makes me think about something that I'm trying to practice in my life right now, which is like, for a long time, I thought friendships had to be like blood brothers. We are so tight. We are each other's families. I think I had to settle into the idea that not only are all relationships, like all relationships ebb and flow and come in and out of our lives for every reason, for all different reasons, but there are different levels of friendship. There are people that you meet every week, every 6 weeks for coffee. Mm-hmm. And then there's a person that you talk to on the phone every 6 months. Mm-hmm. And then there are people that you see a lot, but you don't get that emotional intimacy from. But you get for sure. companionship because you're seeing another body, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to settle into that because as like an emotionally very vulnerable and like somebody who requires vulnerability to feel close to people, I didn't feel fulfilled by so many of my friendships because I wasn't having like the heavy, you know, conversations that you and I were having over happy hour about like what the fuck we were doing with our lives and like why, what is attachment? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just kidding. I didn't know what that was until we started the podcast, but, you know, I wanted that emotional vulnerability that I was overlooking other friendships that felt differently, because of whatever reason.
For sure.
Anyway, this is all to say, like I started with, making friends is hard. It's not as organic as we think, but there are ways we can, you know, bend to what the world is offering us or slash and put ourselves out there just a little bit more to see what is within our reach. That doesn't mean any of your feelings are invalid, but your feelings aren't necessarily telling you the truth. It's not that you are unworthy of friendships. It's that friendships are hard. It's not mm-hmm. that you are destined to be alone and to only rely on your partner. It's that it's okay to feel lonely. You know, that is your humanity saying, I need a witness. I need a friend. That is what connects us despite capitalism and all of the other forces that try to keep us separate. We are meant to need each other. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you wrote us. I'm so glad that you trusted us. And I hope that things feel a little bit more connected in the coming months.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for writing to us, for trusting us with this question. We love you.
I love you. All right, my darling. It is Friday. I don't know why I yelled that, but it is Friday. And that means we're going to do a blind date every week. At the end of the week, we shout out something that we love that we want to set you up with. And this week we are sending you home with.
I'm finally biting the bullet and I'm going to endorse Jessica Simpson's memoir, Open Book.
3 years later or whatever. Yeah.
I literally read this book probably 2 years ago and have been sitting on it ever since for a lot of different reasons. One of which is because she's a billionaire and I just don't mm-hmm. like billionaires as a category. And, you know, I think that there is a lot in it about sort of running a business, and I don't know that her business practices are super great. But beyond that, the book itself is incredible. You know, as somebody who grew up and was a cultural consumer of pop culture in a significant way at sort of the height of Jessica Simpson's fame, it was interesting to hear her story about how the ways in which people talked about, looked at her, impacted her as a person. And the book starts with her sort of disclosing how she knew that she was an alcoholic and sort of the rock bottom that she experienced in that. And then also talks about the amount of therapy recovery that she's been in through that process. And what I think is really wonderful about the book is that it is clearly written by somebody who has a lot of empathy for herself and a lot of empathy for the people around her who were mistreating her in pretty mm-hmm. meaningful ways. And so when she talks about the ways in which the press and the ways in which, you know, consumers of that press were really viewing her, her body, her music, the pain that she was going through and sort of contributing to that pain, she really just invites the reader into a different understanding of what was driving that sort of narrative within themselves. It's like, it's so beautiful the way that she is able to look back at all of this pain that she has been through and hold it with such grace and such compassion. It's like, I was so moved by so much of this book. I cried multiple times in it. Mm-hmm. And it also really made me hate John Mayer. So you have that to look for as well. So if you're into celebrity memoirs, I would encourage you to do the audiobook of it too. She reads it and she's a great narrator. Like, her speaking voice is beautiful. She also like tears up during the reading of it, which was just so moving to hear. I would say that, like, from somebody who didn't really spend a lot of time thinking about Jessica Simpson after having read this book, I have an immense amount of respect for her personal journey. Again, her business, not as much respect for, but that's fine. Anyway, check it out. Listen to the audiobook. It's really good. I've been talking about this book for years, but not on the podcast because I like trying to be really careful about it. But everyone in my life knows that I read this book and loved it and yep. would encourage other people to read it. All right. So it is Open Book. It is by Jessica Simpson, and you can find it wherever you get your books or your audiobooks.
Yeah, I feel like we just collectively owe all of the pop stars.
100%. Absolutely.
Just a general apology.
Jessica Simpson, Brittany, Lindsay Lohan.
Christina.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like, I am so
Disney,
sorry.
The Disney stars.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. All of those were starry. We fucked up.
Yeah.
We all did.
Absolutely. And we're continuing to fuck up. So sorry to also all of the other people who are now like in the
spotlight.
Celebrity
culture, man. All right.
It's
anyway.
That's rough.
Cool.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you are interested in more content from us, you can always support us on Patreon. If you support us on Patreon for as little as $5 a month, you'll get an additional bonus weekly episode. That's patreon.com/justbreakuppod.
You can slide into our DMs, send us your favorite relationship memes, but most importantly, you can submit your questions about all matters of the heart at justbreakuppod.com, which is also where you can find our merchandise.
Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating and review. This literally keeps our mics on and helps us reach more brokenhearted souls who need two random strangers giving them relationship advice.
Just Break Up is a production of Duveed Media. Original music, recording, editing, producing, all magical things by our good friend Spencer Worth Davis. Make sure to check out his podcasts and his music. And remember, y'all, people need other people. And wanting this, wanting to be seen, wanting connection, wanting to be helped or supported doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you silly. It doesn't make you unlovable to be struggling with these things. It makes you incredibly human. And if all else fails,
just break up.